Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they mass on concrete. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See no shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, concrete. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I am your host for the next hour. It is the 17th of April. I don't see any flowers up in the yard. I don't see the yard. All I see is white. Still buried in the snow. And 17th of April. That's ridiculous. But who am I? You know, I'm not a UN scientist. I'm not part of the consensus. You know, this is the longest I ever recall snow being in town, ever. Freaking ridiculous. Then it's cool right across the country. But then, that's part of global warming, isn't it? So, because of that, the government of Canada has decided to boost funding for the environment and immigration to frauds being played against the people. So it's Boost the Fraud Day, I guess. Now, new spending includes $1.1 million for Stephen Harper's archives. Now, Stephen Harper was the last prime minister who was a conservative, who said that this is a loss of national sovereignty at the 2010 G20 meeting in Toronto. So he was the forerunner to Trudeau, who said right after he was elected that Canada is the first post-national state. So if there's anybody out there still tangled up in this stupid right-left political nonsense that was specifically set up to divide and conquer the people, which it's done a very wonderful job of, screw your head on straight. You know, this idea that the conservatives are better than the liberals is lunacy. I mean, you really have to be, well, not real bright if you haven't figured it out yet. Now, Harper was, I believe Harper, yes he was, at the Bilderberg meeting. Pierre Trudeau, I can't remember if Trudeau, yeah, Trudeau I think was there. long time ago. And so now Trudeau's son's running the country. And Finance Minister Bill Morneau was at Bilderberg, shakes hands with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau as he arrives in the House of Commons prior to tabling the federal budget in Ottawa on Tuesday. Was the picture. This is from February. Environment, immigration, Environment, immigration, trains, and those who fight gender-based violence will be getting a lot more money in the year to come, according to detailed spending plans tabled by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government Monday. A review of the main estimates for the coming year also shows that the government will be spending a lot less money on most of its regional economic development agencies. A government's main estimates offer a window into its priorities. For example, under the previous Conservative government, departments involved in defense or public safety often saw an increase in their budgets, while other policy areas, like environmental protection, saw their spending cut. Overall, spending will be up 7% over last year's main estimates and 2.1% over what the government actually spent last year. The main estimates outline the base budget for each department or agency. So we're going to have a big spending bump for the environment. Some of the shifts in spending can be explained by programs and projects that have come to an end or new projects promised in Finance Minister Bill. I've been to the Bilderberg meetings, Morneau, most recent budget. And then there are the one-off expenses such as Library and Archives Canada plan to spend $1.1 million to acquire former Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper's archives. Many, however, reflect the Liberal government's policy priorities. The budget for environment will increase to $1.5 billion in the coming year. That's 53.5% more than it was initially allocated last year and 23% more than it ended up spending last year. The biggest increase in that envelope will be $473 million for the Low Carbon Economy Fund, part of the government's strategy to reduce carbon emissions. The Pan-Canadian Framework on Clean Growth, and Climate Change gets $14.5 million, while there will be an extra $14.4 million for Freshwater Action Plan and $13.8 million more for cleaning up contaminated federal government land. The estimates say that the money will allow the department to provide national leadership on climate change. Whoopee! However, spending will drop by $12 million for the Species at Risk Act, and spending on remediation of contaminated sediment at the Randall Reef in Hamilton Harbor will decrease by $15.2 million. Immigration, refugees, and citizenship is getting a 43% bump in spending over last year, main estimates, to $2.3 billion. That's 17% more than it up spending last year. Much of the increase, $289.9 million, is the result of immigration levels the Trudeau government set for 2017 and its plan for 2018 to facilitate the entry of top talent and to support family reunification and protection of refugees. Health care for refugees will get an extra $89.8 million. They don't round this off, eh? I mean, what are these guys just sitting in the office goofing around? Like, how much you want to put in immigration? I don't know. What do you say, $290 million, $300 million? Nah. Let's make it $289.9 million. Well, that sounds good. You know. So healthcare refugees will get an increase of not 90 million, but they'll get 89.8 million, and spending on implementation of biometric screening in immigration system will increase by 28.1 million, offsetting the increase will decrease will be a decrease of 58.1 million in Syrian refugee initiative, which is entering its final phase. Now, there's a lot of money being thrown around, and none of it's going to the people here in the country. It's going to NGOs, it's going to immigration, it's going everywhere, but to the people who actually slaved away every day, week in and week out, who the government reaches in your pocket and takes your money out, the money you earned, and puts it everywhere but back into anything that is any good for the people of this country. The Canada Border Services Agency is getting an extra $15.4 million to expand biometric screening and a $46.4 million for the 27 immigration level plan. Spending on Via Rail will increase 144% over last year's estimates to $538 million as a result of an increase in Via Rail's long-term funding in the budget. Morneau announced plans to allow Via Rail to replace its aging fleet of rail cars on the Quebec City to Windsor corridor. The status of women coordinator's office will be getting a 64% increase over last year's main estimates to $62.3 million. That's 40.7% more than its total allocation last year. Much of that money will fund the government's strategy to fight gender-based violence. Cybersecurity is getting more money through two departments, Canada's Electronic Spy Agency and the Communications Security Establishment, getting $33 million more for its IT security mandate, while Public Safety Canada will spend $1.7 million to secure cyber systems outside the Canadian government. The government is also preparing for the upcoming legislation of marijuana. Health Canada is getting $65.1 million to administer a federal framework to legalize and strictly regulate cannabis. The Canada Border Service Agency is getting $7.3 million for its part of the plan, and the Public Safety Department will get $1.1 million. So they're going to spend $65 million to administer the legalized framework for weed. Now, you could always get weed in Canada. It was not a problem. I mean, nobody had a problem in Canada getting weed. And nobody took $65.1 million out of your pocket till now. The mobs got the handle on the weed business now, not the mob you're thinking, but the elected mob. And so they've taken control of it. It was a free flowing product, wasn't regulated, didn't harm anybody. But the government sees money in it, so they want it. So, you know, for all you happy weed heads out there that were fighting to have weed legalized, I hope you're happy with your results, because it ain't going to work out good for you. They're still going to bust your ass if they catch you selling it, growing it, whatever. Okay? They just took control of it. They've got 100% control of it. If you are outside their regulations, you're busted. So much for legal weed. Let's see what else we got here. Regional economic planning is development is losing funds. Most of Canada's regional economic development agencies are taking hits to their budgets. The budget for Northern Economic Development Agency will be cut by 40% compared with last year's spending estimates. So instead of using money, and I don't believe in it anyways. I mean, I don't see where the government has any business in the business of creating jobs. The jobs will create themselves if you just get the hell out of the way. But they're taking all the money and they're moving it over to immigration and climate change, which are two frauds. The Federal Economic Development Agency for Southern Ontario is down 30.5%. The Department of Western Economic Diversification is down 25%. And the Economic Development Agency of Canada for the region of Quebec drops 9%. However, the Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency is getting 5% increase. In the 2015 election, the Liberal Party swept away every riding in the Atlantic region. So I guess that's why they're getting an increase, because I guess everybody voted Liberal. So that pretty much sucks. Anyways, it's more of the same old, you work and they're stealing. And, there's all kinds of Bilderbergers, all kinds of people who are members of the UNPA, United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, which goal is the end of nation states and a global government. That's where, Harper kicked it off. And then Trudeau steps in and calls us the first post-national state. In other words, international law, international governance. These politicians do nothing for you. It's not their job to do anything for you. Their job is simply to steal from you and move the globalist agendas forward, i.e. climate change, immigration, light rail transit, smaller and smaller homes, more compact homes, more density in your living area. But hey, if you get depressed, we can still sell you some weed, says the government. You know? So, yeah, these people should be kicked out. You know? Personally, I think they should be put in a rubber room and be given some health care or mental health care, because they're all psychopaths or sociopaths. Call them what you will. But they're not normal. Okay, there's nothing normal about these people. You know, there's no moral character in these people. They're amoral, just like a psychopath. And they'll smile at you, and they'll shake your hand, they'll pat you on the back. Well, they're lying to you. And that's the traits of a psychopath or a sociopath. And that's who's running your country. And, you don't hear any of these so-called parliamentarians standing up and saying, you know, hey, Morneau, what the hell were you doing at Bilderberg? Right? You know, Trudeau, why are you a member of the UN Parliamentary Assembly pushing for a world government? I mean, I don't know what it takes, people. I really don't know what it takes. You know, you're mad at Trudeau. Okay. So what? You know, so you're going to vote in the conservative candidate who's a globalist? Like, you're just changing one boot for the other boot, and each of them boots is walking you to somewhere you don't ever want to arrive. But you don't seem too concerned about anything. We'll just vote out the Liberals and vote in the Conservatives, and then we'll vote out the Conservatives and vote in the Liberals as they march you to a place you don't want to arrive at. So anyways, that's part of your budget, and that's all well and good, I guess. And we got the Ontario well, here's something interesting, and I haven't had a chance to look it up. I just got home before the show. The biggest, as far as I know, the biggest export out of Vancouver is coal. Wait a minute. I thought we weren't supposed to use coal. Well, we're not. What were they shipping the coal to? Well, I don't know. I'll have to look it up, but I would take it China, probably India, you know, because that's where all our manufacturing that went to. And they're running coal plants. But you stupid Canadians are running, oh, we can't use coal, it's a fossil fuel, oh my God, we'll wreck the world. You know? Where's all those manufacturing jobs we used to have in Canada? They're not here. So I guess we don't need coal plants. Well, where the hell did they go? I don't know, maybe China? Where they built 500 coal plants where we were shutting down four? Now we're shipping the coal out. Because you got all these Western countries, Europe, North America, all freaking out about fossil fuels. And so it lowers the price. As Morris Strong said, we already have the cheapest labor in China. Nobody can compete with us. So shouldn't we have you know, cheap energy as well? So we're digging the coal out and shipping it out. And now we big hoo-ha here about the pipeline, the Trans Mountain Pipeline or whatever it's called, to pump oil to the West Coast. Now, where's that oil going? You know, we're paying ridiculous amount of money for our fuel here. But apparently, we have lots of it. We have enough to export. But we're not using our own energy. We're not using our own resources. We're shipping them out of the country. So nothing that's going on in this country right now is the benefit of the people. Absolutely nothing. You know, you're being torn down. You're absolutely being torn down. Let's see what else we got rooting around here. One thing is quite incredible. Is the Humboldt GoFundMe of the young hockey players and coaches and others that were killed in that bus accident. 16 of them, last count I had. And I saw a thing this morning that said that they were going to shut it down on Wednesday. And when I looked at it this morning, there was about like 12,300,000 or 500,000. And when I got home tonight, it's 13,317,000. So people must have took the opportunity to get the last of their donations in before it closes down tomorrow. Because they brought in basically $1 million since I left the house this morning. So what they're going to do with the money, I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure they're not sure. I mean, they probably thought when they put up a $4 million goal, they were pushing their luck, but, you know, they bypassed that, and it's only 10 days. In 10 days, they've raised over $13 million. So that's a positive. I hope the money all goes to positive purposes. I hope it's not to fund local NGOs for climate change or stuff like that. That would really sicken me. So they got a potload of money. What they do with it, I don't know, but I hope what they do with it is positive. because it's a hell of a loss for a town. The town's only like 5,000 or 6,000 people. You lose 16 people in a town that small. That's really got to shake it to the core. So, but they're a small town and they're in a rural area, so you have a different group of people there. Likely the people are probably much more moral than they are elsewhere. So I hope everything works out well for them, and the town gets back on its feet, and the young people that lost their close friends and that, they're going to be tore up for some time. There's a lot of them still in the hospital, as far as I know. Some of them are paralyzed. So, you know, 13 million plus used properly will go a long way for the community and that, and those in the community. So that's a good thing. It's a very good thing, actually. Now, I want to go back here. There's another story. This was out yesterday. It says here that the Liberals loosen rules that exclude immigrants on medical grounds. Immigration Minister Hamad Hussein, who's a Ismaili Muslim, said policy is out of line with Canadian values. Now, what exactly is a Canadian value? According to Trudeau, we don't have anything here. We're just this group of immigrants, and so I don't know what these Canadian values this Ismaili Muslim is talking about, who just happened to end up being the Minister of Immigration right after Trudeau came back from visiting the Aga Khan, who is the head of the Ismaili Muslims. And you think these people are working on your behalf? Anyways, the Liberal government is going to loosen the rules that deem some prospective immigrants inadmissible on medical grounds, but is not yet eliminating a policy that many have called discriminatory. Immigration Minister Hussein said the medical inadmissibly policy, which has been in place for more than 40 years, is a way out of date and not in line with Canadian values or government policies of inclusion. Under the revised policy, newcomers won't be deemed permanent residency if they or any of their children have developmental delays, special education requirements, or a hearing or visual impairment. The anticipated health care cost threshold, the sum of a prospective immigrant can't exceed in annual health care costs in order to be admissible, will increase to about $20,000 a year, about three times the previous threshold. Admissibility determinations are based currently on whether an immigrant's anticipated costs are expected to exceed the average Canadian per capita cost of health or social services over a five-year period, or whether the immigrant could add to an existing waiting list and delay health care for Canadian citizens or permanent residents. He says he estimates the new rules will allow entry to about 75% of the approximately 1,000 people previously rejected on medical grounds for excessive demand. More consultation and study will be undertaken, he said, with the goal of eventually eliminating the medical inadmissibility policy entirely. Immigration minister said he could not say if the provinces and territories would be compensated for potential extra costs, but said the impact will be studied. We're not going for full repeal precisely because we want to continue the consultations. When the committee studied the issue last fall, he said the government was committed to ditching the policy, but the government would have to proceed with caution because any change could affect provincial health care and social service budgets. Asked if the government is perpetrating a discriminatory policy, immigration minister said the charges will be in a closer line to the Canadian values. Now, he's already said that, what, three or four times? You know, that's the propaganda. Or as Bush said, you got to keep catapulting it out there, right? The propaganda. Canadian values, Canadian values, Canadian values. Terrorists, terrorists, terrorists. You know, it's just the same shit. I don't know why people don't get any of this stuff. Closer in line to Canadian values while bringing on board the provinces and territories which pay for publicly funded health and social services. NDP immigration critic Jerry Kwan, another nice European name, said any move short of the policy's complete termination ignores the benefits these newcomers would bring to Canadian society and paints them as a net drain on the system. She said the changes still amount to discrimination despite the vague assurances from the minister that the policy eventually will be fully rescinded. Frankly, that is him attempting to talk out both sides of the mouth. It rings hollow and it's meaningless. A coalition of disability, HIV, AIDS, and immigrant rights groups condemned the changes, calling them minor tweaks to a deeply flawed regime. The government has failed to bring its policies in line with Canada's domestic and international human rights obligations, okay? International human rights obligations, which supersede our decisions on what we're and who we're going to let in this country. Okay? Because we are a member state of the United Nations, and therefore we are under the United Nations, and we do as the United Nations says to do. And what is their main goal? Complete and total control of all people, all resources on the planet. And the death of nation states. Go back to Harper. This is a loss of national sovereignty, 2010. He says some people don't like it, but it's a simple reality. What do you mean some people don't like it? Some people don't like the idea that we've lost our nation state to the internationals? And then Trudeau comes along and tells us that it's a done deal. We're the first post-national state. Let's see. According to the rules on medical inadmissibility, a willingness or ability to pay is not a factor for public-funded services like those of a physician or hospital, since Canada has no cost recovery regime in place. However, it is consideration in assessing an applicant who has the financial means to defray costs of medication or service that are not public funded, such as HIV and other diseases. Now, $20,000 a year, I don't know that I'm 63 freaking years old, and I highly doubt, in fact, I'm absolutely positive that since I was born, I don't believe that I was ever spent $20,000 on me for my health. But, you know, if you're an immigrant, we got lots of money here, apparently. But this thing has a few comments, like 1,050. So, you know, people are not happy. I mean, they're working every day, busting their asses. And, you know, I mean, a typical example is you can look at the veterans, you can look at the native people on the reserves and super substandard housing. Water ain't drinkable. And here you have the government that's going to spend all this money water and environment and all this kind of stuff. And after all these decades, the native people still don't have decent housing, decent water, decent medical, decent education. I'll take back the decent education, because that's not just the natives, it's everybody in the country doesn't have decent education. But if a country as rich as Canada, and we are the richest nation, bar none, on the entire planet, still can't get water, and I forget where we stand, we're way up there. We're probably number one in the amount of fresh water per capita. I would think that, I can't see anybody else being higher than us. You know, we apparently have all this technology, but we still can't get clean drinking water to the native people. You know, we got more trees per capita than anywhere in the world, and still can't build them a decent house to live in. It's really quite sad. There's a very good one. Ron LeBlanc put in a comment here. Okay, Canadians, to the end of the line. And that's about where we are now. If you're a multi-generational Canadian, likely of European stock, go to the back of the line, because you don't matter anymore. Not that you ever did matter, but now it's just becoming more obvious that you don't matter as they throw us under the bus, so to speak. Yeah, it's really quite ridiculous. What else we got here? We got some. What do we got here? Now, there's another thing that I'm going to be spending a whole lot more time on in the days and weeks ahead. And I'm going to get right down to the bottom of it, because, you know, they had that rally out in Calgary, the so-called Christian rally. So you have your Christian Zionists. Because they were flying the Israeli flag. The Israeli flag has no more right to be in this country than does the UN flag. You know, I heard so many of these speakers referring to themselves as Judeo-Christians. And, it's just another fraud. It's another manipulation. You know, this, you know, Canada's, you know, Judeo-Christian society is not, it's a fraud. It's that simple. And I'm going to be dealing with that more and more as I get more time to look into it. Now, Billy Graham, who just passed away not too long ago, was the White House preacher, pastor, whatever he called himself. And, you know, he was pushing the Judeo-Christian rhetoric. And, you know, they talk about You know, they call it a heritage, they call it a society, they call it all these names, but it didn't exist. I mean, the whole point, okay, the whole point of, as far as I can see anyways, of this Judeo-Christian nonsense was to get people on side for the state of Israel. Now, there's no mention that I can find of Judeo-Christian until mid-late 1800s. In 1913, we had the Jewish-run Fed set up. And then we had a world war called One. And part of the deal was to set up the State of Israel. And this is the time period when they really started pushing the Judeo-Christian ethic, or lack of ethic, or lack of morals. So it isn't that old. You know, if you look back in history, the Judeo-Christian deal is quite new. And it had a very distinct purpose. And that was to give the Jews and Rome slash Vatican slash Catholicism a foothold in the West or North America. It has nothing to do with faith. It's political. It's a political entity. Work towards their world government, world control. You know, you see our prime ministers wearing the little beanies, you know, and standing with the Israeli flag, you know, Judeo-Christian. Which is a fraud. Because they never forget, you know, the Reformation of the 1500s. So you get the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. You know, it's at least 350 years, getting on 400 years since the Reformation, when they created the Judeo-Christian society or whatever. So they've been hacking away at this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to try to get a foothold again. Because you got to understand, our forefathers who came to North America, those that came over on the Mayflower, were toting the Geneva Bible with them. These were the Protestants. These were the ones that outed Catholicism, outed the Vatican, outed the Pope. And they came here to start a new life for their families based in law. God's law, not this nonsensical secular law, but the Judeo-Christian situation, you know, what comes first stands above. It's not Christian Judeo, right? It's Judeo-Christian. Now, this group undermined over a long period of time and actually conned, or some of the so-called Protestant preachers sold their souls to jump on board with the Jews and the Catholics to bring these three groups together. Well, the Protestants didn't want anything to do with the Jews, didn't want anything to do with these so-called Christians, the Jewish, or not the Jewish, but the Catholic Vatican Christians, didn't want nothing to do with them. But yet, many generations after your forefathers landed here, all of a sudden, they're pushing this togetherness. Groups that have nothing whatsoever to do with each other, pushing the rhetoric. And they do it over many, many generations so that you don't notice. They do it through suggestion. Now, I can guarantee you there is no freaking way. There is no hope in hell that those first settlers that came here to North America, the Protestants, there is no hope in hell that they would have ever sat down with the Jews and the Catholics to join together. Would have never, ever happened. But you stretch this out over a long period of time. You control the media. You control the education system. Some things are moved to the back till they disappear, and some things are moved to the front. So they're really, you know, the Judeo-Christian thing really didn't, I mean, while it was mentioned in the 1800s, it really didn't pop its head up, so to speak, or really get a foothold until somewhere in the 1930s, which is damn recent. Now we've been secularized. We're now secular nations. Now one of the deals was to get rid of...
Please leave a message. Thank you for calling.
Hey, pal, are you sitting there? Are you anywhere near your phone? Are you on the road? Are you in a snowstorm? Are you shoveling snow? Are you looking at snow? Are you sick of snow?
Hello. Hello.
That was a funny phone call. So, you know, and if you look at the Catholics way back when, where did this secularization come from anyways? Where did secular come from?
Yeah.
It came from the Catholics. But then our forefathers realized that they were evil. So the idea is to make government your God. Now, they brought the sin taxes with them, just like they had in Rome. Because you couldn't get to God unless you went through the church, which was exactly what the Protestants threw that idea right out the window when they called out Rome and the Catholic faith, Catholic Christian faith. So what we have now is we have the government has become God or the church, and you can't get anywhere without paying sin taxes. All of these statutes, rules, and regulations, that they, this legalism nonsense, has nothing whatsoever to do with law, but it's a great way to collect cash. You know, so it's your sin taxes back. You know, you look at our nation since the First World War, when they brought income tax in just to fund the war. This is all Jewish stuff. And it was only supposed to be temporary. Well, it's pretty long temporary, because you're still digging your pockets. So this whole Judeo-Christian thing is a crock of nonsense. It's a fraud. Take heed, no man deceive you. Well, got deceived again. You know, and long before there was anything called Islamophobia, there was Judeophobia. In other words, you couldn't say anything bad about the Jews. Now, I'm sure when I look it up, I'm going to find this is when they started moving in this Judeo-Christian nonsense. So you can't say anything bad about a Jew. Just like now, you can't say anything bad about a Muslim. Now, you have a whole bunch of people in Canada, the United States, and that are angry about female genital but if you look at the Jews do male genital nonsense. I mean, if you look at the way the Muslims kill their animals, it's the same way the Jews kill their animals. The Jews don't integrate. The Muslims don't immigrate. Well, that's odd. Well, not really, because they're both Semitic. And now we have the Protestants, the Catholics, and the Jews wanting to bring Islam in under the same umbrella. Now, I know our forefathers are probably kicking at their caskets, going like, are you people brain dead? What the hell do you think we came here for in the first place? To get away from this nonsense. And now you're funding it into your country. What are you, nuts? We've really gone downhill, folks. We're so easily manipulated now. It's ridiculous. I guess after they got the majority of the people to believe in global warming, they thought, okay, we got them now. These people are completely brain dead. We can do whatever we want with them. Anybody stupid enough to think that they have the capacity to wreck the climate somehow, or wreck a planet somehow, is a fool. So they got you to believe that. So now the same group of people that brought us the Judeo-Christian ethic or society are the same people now who are going to bring you the Judeo-Christian Muslim society. And the only difference is that the Muslims or the Islam is not secular. It can't be divided. Like, people wonder why these Muslims and that come to these countries, and then when, you know, they chase everybody out of the neighborhood, and if somebody calls the cops come in, they run the cops out, because they don't recognize them. Just as we shouldn't recognize them, but we got suckered into becoming secular. Only Islam has no intentions of becoming secular. They intend to overrun your countries through massive births compared to the general population. And you're going to pay to house these people in your countries. And as they get set up, you will find that they do not integrate. They do not accept your secular laws because, well, as the Protestants were before, God is the law. But that got taken away. And you got government law or corporate policy. Well, the Muslims don't intend to go there. So the plan is to implement Sharia law everywhere. And that can't happen. But it's really amazing, because when you look at this, the very same group of people, I mean, nobody wanted the Jews around. They got kicked out of like 109 different countries. For the longest time, a Catholic could not hold public office. And that's all changed. But this was all based on the knowledge that our forefathers possessed, of which we apparently don't possess any longer. So we've become a secular society about to be run over by Islam, which is not secular, which doesn't intend to become secular. So we've thrown our borders wide open. So that our nation can be destroyed. Why are we doing that? Why are we allowing these two-bit globalist politicians to destroy our nation? The nation certainly doesn't belong to the politicians. Although you'd think by their actions it does, but it doesn't. Richest country on the planet. More resources per capita than anywhere on the planet. And people are struggling more and more every day. Poverty continues to rise. Food bank usage continues to rise. You can't go to a freaking store without somebody with a jug or something asking if you want to donate to a clothing situation for those who can't afford clothes, or a food bank, or, you know, buy a hockey stick or a basketball or whatever. How is that even possible in this country? It's not. It's not possible. But it is part of the plan. Very nefarious plan. But part of the plan. So, because of what I saw in Calgary on Saturday and Friday night, it's just another group of deceivers. Total deception. You know, the whole idea of the New Testament was to vacate the Old Testament. Yet at that meeting, people were yelling hallelujah, and I'm thinking, and they're flying an Israeli flag. Well, hallelujah, that word does not show up in the New Testament. Just like the words human and legal don't show up in the New Testament. Okay, these are all things that enslave you. And make your so-called government God.
No. Selling lies and buying time, right? Killing people, next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck the records, only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they master parade, they burn the kids, no one makes con, trees, lie, to your face, fire.